back to another episode of Providence Coffee Talk. Pastor Charles here, and I'm excited today. I got to sit down with Jamie Thompson here at the church, who you may not know. Jamie does a lot of our behind-the-scenes things in social media, as well as helps out with other areas in our church. And so it was good to kind of get to sit down with her, talk about her business of photography and life and ministry. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. And just a couple quick things to remind you of as well. Don't forget, we still have a lot of things going on in our world here at Providence over the next few weeks, especially leading up to the holidays. So I would encourage you to get plugged in that way. There's a lot that's happening as we prepare, not just for Thanksgiving, but also the Christmas holiday. We have a lot of fellowship time that's going to be coming up. So I would encourage you to be involved in that. And don't be hesitant to invite someone to come hang out with you on that. It's a great time to get to know our Providence family and to be a part. So, without further ado, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Jamie. And so grab a cup, take a sip, and let's get into it. Welcome back to this episode of Providence Coffee Talk. I am excited because we've been going through this process I've just been dragging people in here and just asking them to come be a part of this time with me. And today I've got our very own Jamie Thompson with me, and she's sitting across from me. Jamie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm great. And it's kind of last minute because I had a cancellation. And so I called Jamie and I texted her and I was like, hey, you want to do me a huge solid? And she was like, what's up? And I was like, you're going to come in and do a podcast. And she's like, oh, okay.
I think I actually said you're reaching for the bottom of the barrel, but yeah. Sure, I'll help you out.
Yeah. So, I mean, but it'd be fun. I think we could have plenty to talk about in a short amount of time or a long amount of time, depending on how it goes. But
let's do it.
But this is one of those fun things where I wanted to kind of take some time and not just me talk about different things of where I'm at in faith or stuff like that, but more or less just kind of talk through what people in our church are going through, what people in our church are feeling, and how we can kind of maybe glean some things from that as a church. And so I'm excited to do this, buddy. And I hope that you're excited as well. So Jamie, you and Kyle, you guys have been here with your kiddos for what, almost 3 years now? Has it been pretty close to 3 years?
Yeah, two and a half. I think it'll be 3 years in next June.
Yeah. And you guys kind of jumped right in. Like when you guys came, y'all just kind of said, let's throw both feet in. Is that just kind of like a trait that you guys have?
That is a trait that I have. That is not a Kyle Thompson trait. That's a Jamie Thompson trait. But okay. I feel like the Lord really called us to be here, and Kyle really followed suit with me.
Yeah.
Jumping, you know, 2 feet in. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Cause it was, I think when I first met you guys, it was, I'd seen you at the pickup for VBS. You're picking up the kiddos. And then I met Kyle that Friday night. And I don't, what did Kyle think of me that first time that he met me? Did he think I was a weirdo?
No, I think he thought you were right up his alley. And how does this exist in a pastor? Because he had never had that experience before.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm a pretty decent guy.
You are a pretty decent guy. Nice. Toot, toot, toot your own horn.
I know. I have a sound effect for that, but I don't know if it's recording. But that's cool. Cause I mean, I remember the first time that we had kind of chatted. I think music was the thing that Kyle and I kind of connected on, and just kind of talking through different aspects of music. Mm-hmm. And then you guys had 3 kids, we had 4 kids, and we're like, oh, cool. More multi-kid families. Like that's always a fun thing for us. And so, but you guys, y'all came that Friday, y'all came back that Sunday for follow-up, and then you've pretty much been plugged in
ever since.
I mean, you've done everything for us, from working in children's stuff to doing social media, which you do a lot of our social media right now since we lost Allie Hughes, boo. Allie and Pitt, boo. But it is one of those things that, you know, social media has been a fun one for us. I think that's really kind of propelled a lot of what we do as a church forward, getting us some recognition. So, but you do photography, right?
I do. So this month it will be my 13-year anniversary of being a full-time photographer.
So what is your favorite thing about photography? Because like, instead of it just being like a job or like a thing, like what's your favorite thing about it?
I just love that it allows me to be creative, you know, like it's my creative outlet, and it also gives me a paycheck too. to put food on the table for my kids. So it just goes hand in hand. It's like, you know what they say, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And mm-hmm. I really feel like that's true with photography. I love it with every ounce of who I am. I love being creative. I love, you know, serving my clients well and giving them moments that they can keep for the rest of their lives. It's just, it's a really special job.
Yeah, I tried to do that for a little bit. And then I realized I don't know if I like photographing people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I remember in high school, I got my first camera and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then when I got into college, I got more into it a little bit. When I got to seminary, I got back into like old school photography. So I was still shooting film at the time, but I was getting like old Canon AE-1s and like old Nikon F series and just like the old, like heavy metal.
Yeah.
And then I started shooting medium format for a while too. Mm-hmm. But I was terrible at all of it. Did not understand lighting.
Oh.
Did not. And you can probably tell. I mean, Jamie, you've picked up one of my cameras before and you've been like, Charles, do you know what an f-stop does? Like, do you know what exposure is, right? I know that you and Allie both have had conversations with me in the room going, Charles, you don't know what you're doing.
This is why I bring my own camera on Sundays when we have baptisms and things like that. And you're like, just use mine. I'm like, oh, no, thank you. I think I'll bring my own.
Well, I like to pretend that I know what I'm doing. So maybe that's a good thing. I don't know.
You don't suck.
I don't know. If you talk to Melina, there's a couple early like baby photos of Olivia where I was too cheap to pay someone to take photos. I was like, I'll just do it myself, you know, no big deal. And I remember instead of just taking the picture, I played a lot with Photoshop.
Mm-hmm.
Probably should have left that alone.
Too much. Yeah. You can get really, I think that's how a lot of photographers start their careers though, is they have a baby and they can't afford newborn photography. And they're like, I'll do it myself with this nice camera I have. Yeah. And the next thing you know, you have a full-fledged business out of it.
But how much of that can you just do off of your phone too?
No.
No,
we're not going to go there.
Not even.
You're not. These phones are not going to put me out of business. I am determined.
Well, I know that. But I mean, like when it comes to like taking good quality photos, I mean, you can do that partially with a phone, right?
I mean,
or am I just being an optimist?
Yeah, you're being an optimist. Okay. Phones take good pictures. Yes, but they don't do the same thing that a professional camera can do.
So they're good for like your Instagram reel or your Instagram stories.
Oh, for sure.
Stories.
Yeah, 100%. But when it comes to taking quality pictures that will last a lifetime, you want a professional camera.
I will say that has been one of the, like when I talk with other pastors in our area, that has been one of the things that they'll ask me. They're like, dude, who do you have taking your photos? And I'm like, oh, it's my secret. I'm like, I'm not going to tell
it's
you.
It's your secret.
It's my secret. You can't have them. But we've been blessed to have talented people in that
photographers, yeah,
in that world here, and even not just like in our church, but people that are associated or affiliated to some degree to our church. We were talking earlier about even Allie Williams. Just there was one day like you couldn't be here, yeah, and I think Allie Hughes was out of town, and I had a baptism, and so it was when the kids were singing, and I called Allie Williams, and I was like, hey, listen, I need you to pinch, because obviously I'm in the baptistry, so it's not like I can stand there and take, you know, sucky baptism photos
on your iPhone.
On my iPhone. But anyway, yeah, it's nice having that talent in there, especially for that area. And I've had a lot of pastors been like, dude, your photos on social media are great. And I'm like, I don't know how that happens.
I love that for us as a church, but also I will say it's my favorite way that I serve our church. So I'm also on the children's committee and do, you know, a couple other things around the church. But my favorite way that I serve is through photography, because I feel like it was already my God-given talent. And it's just one of the ways that he helps me to serve the church. So
I think that's important too. A lot of people don't recognize that sometimes that thing that they do, or even like sometimes their hobby, how that can be such a huge service.
100%.
Yeah. Like I would say that right now, my favorite hobby is barbecue.
Yeah.
And what a great way to like serve your church.
I like when I get to benefit from your hobby of barbecuing.
Yeah, barbecue is fantastic. I mean, anytime that you can make food for people, that's going to be a good day.
That's a love language, right?
I think barbecue is one of the, it's like the eighth love language,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, they need to add that in.
Seventh
if it's
or eighth?
Not, yeah.
I don't even know. It should be. I mean, it should be a love language if it's not. So I think maybe I need to write that book. If I never write a book, I'll write the book of how barbecue is a love language.
You should.
Oh, man. But So talking about faith though, and serving, like, tell us a little bit about just kind of you, like your journey to faith. I know that that's a kind of very open question. Mm-hmm. And so I know that there's probably a lot in there where you're like, well, I'll tell you this, but I'm not going to tell you this. So I would say use whatever freedom you want to in that. But like, tell me about your like faith story, your journey. Like, how did you get to where you're at now? Like, what were some of the markers that you remember being monumental?
Yeah. So I think you know this about me, that I was not raised in church.
Yeah.
We did not go as a family growing up. My mom always wanted to. She grew up Methodist, but my dad grew up Catholic. So there was a big difference there. And my dad, he, being Catholic, you're in church all day on Sunday. So that was just something he didn't want as a family unit. So we never went as a family growing up. But I always could feel the Lord's presence. And I would ask my mom questions. And then in elementary school, my best friend, Brittany, her parents invited me to church. So they always made room for me in their car, in their pew on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And I went with her for years. And that was really how I grew my relationship with the Lord, was through her and her family. And that grew to like in my early 20s. I was single. I would go every Sunday by myself, sometimes with some of my girlfriends. We would all go together. And in 2014, my best friend, Brittany, that I grew up with from second grade on, she passed away in a really tragic car accident. So it's kind of crazy how it's her family. It was her that brought me to the Lord. And then when the Lord took her, I remember feeling so angry with him. I get so choked up. It was 2014. It was so long ago, but I still get so choked up because I'm like, how was it that he used her family to bring me to him? And then he took her away. So that was something that I had to like really, you know, get through. But I've had a strong faith since then because her family helped to instill that in me.
And that's I think that's a piece that people don't realize sometimes, of how integral. how integral that the relationships that they make outside of the walls of a building can truly benefit someone, not just for the present moment, but we're instilling kind of this love of God that continues moving forward. And that's such a big deal. And people don't, I wish that I could get more people to recognize that sometimes, like, hey, it may seem small and insignificant to just invite someone to come to church.
Yeah.
But you're also showing and expressing to them a love that they may not get in another form.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, look, I'm 39 years old and I still go back to them picking me up when I was in elementary school and taking me with them to church for years. And they would have little fall festivals like we did here. And I still remember going to them and having so much fun, and church just being like this really fun place for me as a kid. And so I'm so grateful that I have a family now that raises my own children in church.
Yeah. And you've got a good church family that surrounds you.
Oh my
too.
Gosh. We have the best church family here.
I think you guys have a bunch of adopted grandparents that are just like, yeah, we'll do it. Whatever you need. Yeah,
we do. Yeah. We love them so fiercely. They are our people.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's kind of why I'm so passionate about youth ministry. Like, that's always been something that and family ministry, but particularly youth ministry. I you know, I grew up going to church. My parents got disenfranchised with that just through the drama of church. Like, come on, there's drama everywhere.
Right.
I don't know if you can be in any organization with people.
Right.
And there not be drama of some sort.
Yeah.
But it really kind of hurt my family to a degree. And, you know, it just kind of, we switched going to church on Sundays to just watching NASCAR, which, because we grew up in Arkansas, that's what you do with your free time. But I just remember that when I got into those more formative, like teenage years, I had a friend that sent me an email. Okay. This was a long time ago. I mean, we're talking ninth grade email. So it was like the ones where it's like the school assigns it and you have that long string of like names behind it. And you're like, I don't know how this person even found me. But, he was a friend of mine named Jeremy. And he's like, dude, you should come back to church. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll do it. So I showed up on a Wednesday night through an email. All right, mind you.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt like, oh, I'm a part of this.
Yeah. Like,
they want me here.
Right.
You know, and then I started hanging out with, we called them the Tri-J's, and it was Jeremy, and Josh. And then, so they called themselves the Tri-J fraternity, and then Charles.
And then
so,
Charles.
Yeah, then Charles. And then on top of that too, like my best friend that, that I had growing up, and we're still good friends today. His name was Zach. Like, we all kind of went to church together. Mm-hmm. And I still remember those days as being the formative days of faith. Like, that's when I surrendered to ministry, and that's when I recommitted my life to Christ. And that's when, you know, all of these things happened for me that brought me to the position where I'm at now. Mm-hmm. And it's just because somebody said, hey, you should come to church.
Right. I love that.
I think that's so cool.
It is so cool.
Yeah. And so then you and Kyle met, you got married.
Yep. In 2013.
Nice. That's pretty fun.
Yep. We met in 2010, got married in 2013. Through our dating years and like early marriage, we would try churches here and there. And Kyle was very turned off. He grew up, his parents were divorced, and his mom and stepdad didn't really practice any sort of religion, but his dad and stepmom were Mormon. And, that was all he really knew.
Yeah.
And so then moving to the South, he grew up in Washington State. Moving to the South, it's a little different.
Yeah.
And I would take him to some churches. Yeah. And he would just feel uncomfortable. He never felt comfortable in a church until we stepped foot in Providence Baptist.
And oh, that's awesome.
I will never forget that first Sunday we came after VBS, and you two talked. And for a long time, I mean, me and the kids were staying there forever while you guys just kind of broed out.
That's my fault.
100% was your fault. Yeah. But you guys bonded over music and all these things. And I remember he shook your hand and he said, I'll see you next Sunday. And my jaw hit the floor. I was like, oh, we're going to a church more than once. He actually likes this. And I will just never forget it for as long as I live. Or the Sunday that he looked at me and said, all right, you ready? When we joined the church, and he got up and held my hand and pulled me to the front.
That's awesome.
Because I was ready from day one, but I was just waiting on him. And it really didn't take that long. I think it was like 2 months after we had started coming.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's the cool piece. Like, you know, he and I connected that day, and it's like every time that we see each other, we hug each other. Like, it's not even like a, hey, good to see you. You know what I mean? It's like,
I know.
It's like a hug. Like, it's a real manly hug.
Yes. He genuinely loves you so much. You guys are just kind of, I mean, you kind of look alike, you act alike, you have the same quirky personality, weird humor.
I would venture out to say that Kyle's probably way more manly than I am. I mean, I'm just going to, like, he knows things and I don't.
You know things he doesn't know too. Okay.
Yeah, but he knows more man things.
Oh my gosh.
I'm still a big old kid at heart, I think, at some point.
You are a big kid at heart.
But I think it's funny now because, like, again, you guys both feed in. You started serving in children and then started serving in social media. Mm-hmm. Pretty much anything you could get your hands on, you were like, yeah, let me help out in that where I can.
Yeah.
And then Kyle's like, yeah, I'll usher. Yeah, no, yes. No problem. You know, and so it was kind of nice to see how the church just kind of welcomes new people in. Like, I do think that that's a piece that I love about our church is when new people come in for that first time, it's just like, you know, sometimes you feel overwhelmed and maybe you're just kind of like, oh my gosh, this is way too much. But
yeah,
our people just try their best to put their best foot forward.
100%. We never felt overwhelmed. I remember our first Sunday here, Diane Bray was the first person that came up to us and she said, hi, I'm Diane. I'm so glad y'all are here.
Yeah.
And that was in the first 30 seconds we had stepped foot in. And from that moment on, I just kind of knew, like, this was our place. These are our people.
Yeah.
When Finn was baptized, you know, we don't have family around really. But when Finn was baptized, the Morgan family stepped right in and said, let's go celebrate your son's baptism.
That's
and
awesome.
We all went to lunch after. And it just kind of feels like family. Like, truly, Providence Baptist is our family.
And we try to do that. And I guess some people can kind of see that as kind of cultish. And maybe that's true. No. To a point. I think that's one of the things that we've really tried to instill since I've been here is I don't just want to be a church that is there to meet on Sundays and be entertained, but I want it to feel like when you've missed, like you feel like you've missed a family function, or you've missed a family dinner, or you've missed, like, you know, an event where all the people that you care about are going to be there. And I know for us, I mean, that was a big piece of us too, because you, like, we've been here 3 years. You guys have only been here about 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. It's different for us because, like, they're calling us as our whole family. And I remember the search team, when I talked to them, I said, listen, I only have one request from you. And they're like, yeah, shoot. What is it? I said, I will stay as long as you will have me, as long as you love my family.
I remember you saying that one Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, because that's a big deal for me. I've seen a lot of friends and their families get hurt by church. And I said, if you guys will just love my family, I'll stay as long as you want. Like until you decide I don't need to be there anymore, like I'll stay there. Yeah. And golly, they have lived up to that.
Yeah, I don't know how anyone couldn't love Melina and your four kids. Love Melina,
yeah. Not me so much, but Melina and the four kids definitely love them. Yeah. I mean, they are my rock. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how people do it without that.
Yeah.
I really don't. Like, without that solid, like, spouse to go home to, or those mm-hmm. kids to kind of be there to tackle you when you get there, like, when you don't have that.
Yeah, that strong foundation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, man, so we've talked photography. We've talked church stuff. We've talked a little bit of faith stuff. What are some of the things that you're interested in? What are some of the things that interest you just, like, I don't know.
Okay, so this might come off as a little bit of a surprise to you.
Okay.
And I don't really tell a lot of people, but I love to write.
Really?
Yes, I have years of poetry.
Really?
That I have written that I've never let anyone, including my own husband.
Yeah.
I've never let anyone read. So I love poetry. I've loved it since I was a kid. I took a lot of like English classes in college just to get that like poetry in. And I write a couple times a week.
So do you like diagramming sentences and stuff?
Does this come from yesterday's sermon?
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe a little. Yeah, I love grammar and I love writing and all of that stuff.
Because I hate every second of that.
Oh, see, so does Kyle. And I'm not a math girl. I don't do numbers.
I love numbers.
I do words.
Yeah, I love numbers all day long.
No, see, that's weird to me.
No, it's not.
It's like, so weird.
Like, if I wasn't doing ministry, I would do accounting. Like, that would be my favorite thing, is to be like, where does this number go? You know?
See, and I just can't wrap my mind around that, because numbers are so hard for me. When you throw a letter in there and you're like, X, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, but that's you're just solving for X. It's the best.
You can talk until you're blue in the face. It won't make sense to me. I'm sorry. My brain does not accept it.
So you like X as a letter, just not as
a letter. It doesn't belong in numbers.
That's pretty funny. So poetry, is it like slam poetry where like, you get in a room, everybody's snapping, and then you're like bongos. No,
I have a really like old soul, I think, and I love deep connection with others, and so I write to get some of that deepness out, because there aren't a whole lot of people nowadays, I feel like, that crave that deep connection.
Yeah,
and so if I feel like I'm in need of that, I will just start writing.
Well, and in saying that, that kind of sounds like the other stuff that you've talked about too, like even in photography, like you want to help people have like a deep connection to a moment where it's not just, hey, let's go to the beach and take a photo. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, let's
make it mean something.
Yeah. This is a moment. Mm-hmm. Let's like actually have this moment. And then the same thing with like, just being at church, that connection, I think that you're talking about is even so important there, like being able to connect with people and feel like you're a part of something bigger than just you.
Yeah.
You
know, and Kyle and I talk about that all the time, about how that's our favorite piece of Providence Baptist, is the connection that we have with people here.
Yeah. So it sounds like that old soul of poetry and just writing has also kind of just been a pattern throughout your life of just like, you always feel those connective pieces. So you're probably one of those that when you make a friend, you're like, that's my friend for life. And just
I hold my friendships to a different standard.
Yeah.
I definitely do. I treat my friends like family.
Yeah. And I've tried to do that, but it's really hard.
You have a wife and four children. I have a husband and three children. It does get harder when you get older. Yeah.
Well, that was like, I was talking to Olivia yesterday. We were on our way to youth, and you know, it's always her thing. And that she says, I just want a best friend. You know, I just want to be able to have best friends. And she's got a lot of like
good friends. Yeah.
But she's always kind of prized that idea of a best friend. And I was like, well, sometimes that changes, you know, and I was trying to talk with her through it. And I said, I've got a one friend that I've had through high school, but really my best friend is your mom.
Like, that's
kind of the person that I lean on. And if I want to talk to anybody, that's who I want to have that connection with. That's who I want to talk with. That's who I want to.
She's not in that season of life. I remember growing up, and when my parents would say they were each other's best friend, I would think it was weird. You know, so as a child, you're not in that season of life where you can even understand what a spouse is and how they can become your best friend. So, and Aubrey and Olivia, they're the same age. They kind of are going through those same things. And
yeah, just navigating that.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I don't have to do preteen anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was awful. Like even just the teenage years, like that's, That was 100% like not
fun.
Like it was formative for me, but it also showed me a lot of like what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, that's cool. Like at least I'm learning through my other friends' experiences and I don't have to experience it myself.
For me, it's like living it all over again with Aubrey. She just started middle school and she comes home with the middle school stuff. And I'm like, oh gosh, I'm not quite ready, but I'm, you know, I'm thrown into it. So
middle school.
Here we go. That's
what, did you ever think like, cause Melina and I would talk about this all the time. I have a sixth grader.
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Wild.
It's weird to me.
We're too young to have a sixth grader.
Yeah, I'm just now 20.
Me like, too.
It's hard. Yeah, it's really hard to imagine. You know, I had a kid at 10. And I know. They're...
How did these things happen?
I think it's just so interesting that you watch them grow up and... One of the things I always kick myself about is I look at every moment as a parent and I go, I just waste that moment. Do you ever feel that?
Oh, every day. Every day.
Like there's an opportunity right there. Did I just squander that?
Exactly. I look at physical clutter in my home as mm-hmm. mental clutter. And I always have to tell Kyle and the kids, like, I'm not being mean. I just need this room picked up so I can be a nice person again. And they still haven't comprehended that.
Yeah.
And then I go to bed feeling angry at myself. Like, oh, it really was okay that the kitchen was a little bit of a mess. I could have been a better mom or I could have been a better wife in that moment. So yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm the same way. Like, I mean, you see my office. If you ever come in my office, I mean, it looks like it has no purpose.
Like, it looks like the inside of my brain.
And mine too. And that's the ADHD in me. It's just like where there's so much going on and I'll get started on a project and quickly move to the next thing. And I've never finished the first one.
But I bet you know where everything is.
To a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I know that it's in there.
Yep.
And I know that it's probably within a certain... You know, like even my books. So one of the priorities I have between now and the end of the year is my whole library of stuff is to resort that.
Yeah.
But in order to do that, I have to pull everything off the shelf, reorganize, put in more shelving, and then put it back. And I'm not mentally prepared to do that yet.
That's a daunting piece when you have to pull everything out. Like I need to redo my closet. My sister's going to come help me. And she was like, you know, we have to pull everything out, right? Like everything has to come out and then we handle everything piece by piece. And that is daunting.
I used to get on to Melina for that all the time because I was like, hey, listen, why do we have to take everything out of here? She's like, well, that's how you organize it and clean it. I'm like,
it is,
yeah. But it's not like you can just not take all the stuff out. And she would do that. She would take everything out of the closet and then just lay it out. And then it'd be the end of the day. And I was like, are we going to put this stuff back? You're like, what do we do? I have nowhere to sleep. Like, what are we going to do here?
Yep.
And I remember that first year of marriage when we were in a little one bedroom apartment in Frisco, Texas. And I had boxes of books stacked in the living room. And I was like, what are we going to do with these? She's like, well, we'll have to figure out like shelves or something. And finally, after like a month of the boxes just being in the same spot where they were supposed to be shelves, I was like, look, we're going to Walmart and we're buying shelves. I know it's not the best and I know it's not what we want for our future.
Mm-hmm.
We're not wasting money. I just got to get some boxes off the floor. So, because that's kind of me too. Like I'm one of those, and Melina will tell you, I get frustrated in the house when it's just like, when the kids have just cut up a ton of pieces of paper all day.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Paper everywhere.
We are in that season with Grady. Oh my gosh. If I had a dollar for every shred of paper on the floor of my kitchen at all times.
Yeah.
Oh, the things I could do with that. Yeah. There's paper everywhere, craft stuff, the little pom-poms, glue sticks, pencils.
Oh, yeah.
And I look at it and I have to remind myself, like, one day you're going to want this back. One day you're going to have a clean house and you're going to wish for those little footsteps everywhere and the little cut up pieces of paper. And I make myself cry over it because that's who I am. Yeah.
That's okay. I don't cry over those things. I get frustrated. I'm like, why is this so bad? And Melina's like, well, we've been doing all this because, you know, homeschooling kids, they're there all day.
Right.
You know, that's
your
that's,
house is that, lived in. Yeah.
That's their house. That's their classroom. That's their, you know, that's their sanctuary all at the same time in the same place. And, and I think the hard part, like for me is I look at the house and it can be chaotic after a while. Like Melina will spend all day just kind of trying to reset and get everything together. And I'm helping her in that process, either watching the kids or vacuuming or doing whatever she needs. And And then you come home the next day and it's like, nothing got done.
Mm-hmm.
Like you guys, like you look at these four kids, like you destroyed like in one day. And even when you walk in their bedrooms, it's like, how?
I know.
Like how, who gave you these things? Like it wasn't me, right?
Right. Like I don't even know what to get for Christmas for my kids this year. I'm like, you have everything.
Everything. You need outside time. Like here's a coupon for outside time.
You need less. That's what you need.
Less. We're going to deep. But like when Olivia started to show an interest in making cards, mm-hmm. we have sweet ladies in our church that said, hey, I have a bunch of like Stampin' Up stuff.
Yep.
She's welcome to all of this. And I thought, oh, okay, like cool. A few little things. No.
That's a lot.
There were crates.
I remember Melina telling me how much stuff came into your home for that. And then the last time we were at your house and Aubrey and Olivia went upstairs the whole way home, Aubrey was like, Olivia has this. Olivia has that. Olivia has this paper cutter and I really want it. And Olivia has these stamps. Can I get those? I'm like, oh my gosh.
I know. And I was so appreciative that they invested in her hobby.
Right. Like,
that she just loves. But at the same time, I would walk in her room and I couldn't see the floor. And I was like, okay, there's a problem. I don't know what's living underneath all of this. It's like that scene in Star Wars, you know, where they fall down the trash chute and there's like that one little thing that's coming out. I'm afraid that's what's going to happen.
Charles, I don't know because I've never seen Star Wars.
Wow. Hold on.
I know. That's a rabbit hole. Okay.
That's we don't know if we have time for that today.
We don't.
At least like Back Let's to the Future. On. Have you at least seen that one?
Mm-hmm. No.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. That's not my vibe, not my thing. Oh,
and it was literally like, I don't remember what anniversary it was. It was like 40th anniversary of Back to the Future. You just met. Oh my gosh.
I'm sorry.
One of these days, we'll have to have our families over and we'll watch all the fun movies that are quintessential.
Does Melina like that stuff?
She loves Back to the Future.
Oh, she does?
Oh, yeah. She had the box set when I met her.
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, like
well, I might have to give it a...
She's in it. Like, her brother, even more in it. Like, her brother is 100% like, if he could go back, if he could build a DeLorean and go back in time, he would do it today. Like,
oh, wow.
And it was so much fun because he and I would just hang out. In fact, he found... This is a real weird rabbit hole on movies, but he found a theater in Houston that was showing Back to the Future on an original 35mm film cut that they had purchased. And it's like Ooh. This kind of really trendy, artsy, like theater, yeah. you know, type thing. It was so great. Like we got to go see it on the big screen. It was so much fun. Of course, now when you go see it, they just show you like the DVD of it or the Blu-ray or whatever it is.
Right.
But for him, he found a guy that had the old film player and he was playing it. And oh, it was great. I love that movie. But that was my dad. Like my dad brought me up on all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
it wasn't really a thing for me growing up. So I guess.
So then what did you watch growing up? Like what was your movies?
It's funny. We were talking about this the other night because Kyle had on baseball and I never grew up watching baseball. My dad never watched it. We watched NFL. We watched the Dallas Cowboys. That's what we did.
Because that was America's team.
America.
Yeah. Dude, but it's also a reflection of America right now. They're terrible.
Oh, thank Just you. Kidding. Like I needed one more person to tell me. You know, I pride myself in being a loyal fan. When they're bad, when they're good, I'm there.
Congratulations. I'm super proud of you.
Whatever.
Yeah. So did you not grow up watching movies or was it just like
no,
you
guys watched sports? No, I did, but it was like Disney movies and things like that. Yeah.
Which now half of those have been canceled. So it's...
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Or disclaimed. We grew up doing a lot of those things. Like movies were a big deal. Like I remember we watched all the Star Wars on Thanksgiving. That was just something we always did. And then my dad was real into Star Trek too. Anything kind of sci-fi my dad was real into.
My dad was really into Chuck Norris.
That's so good though. Walker, Texas Ranger.
Walker, Texas Ranger. That's what it was.
Did you grow up watching some of that?
Every day he would come home from work and that would be on or a Western.
Yes.
Yeah.
Those are such... Like when I would go camping with my grandparents in the summer, you can only get like two or three stations on the little TV. And it was always Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
And I remember we'd sit there and play cards at a card table outside of their camper with Walker, Texas Ranger on in the background.
I mean, he was pretty cool. He still is.
Yeah. I mean, everybody. I mean, if you have your own like joke series that's been going on for however many years. All the Chuck Norris jokes. And then
they're good.
And they're still going. And you're still alive to like be a part of those. Yeah, you're a legend.
He was
like,
doing let's something just be real. Right.
You're a legend. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He did not put cream in his coffee, right?
He absolutely did not.
That's funny.
But we watched like Wheel of Fortune a lot. Never Jeopardy, because no one in my house is ever smart enough for Jeopardy. But I watch it now as an adult. I'm like, oh my gosh, we missed out on so much good stuff.
I would have been so much smarter in school.
Smarter. Of Wheel of Fortune. Maybe that's why I love words so much and putting things together.
Putting puzzles together, yeah.
In Full House. Did you ever watch Full House?
Oh, yeah. Full House was a huge one.
Yes.
TGIF. Like the whole Friday night lineup.
Oh, yes.
Melina and I still talk about how we tell our kids, like, you don't know how much you missed out on. We had it so good.
We did.
But then the hard part is like, well, now I sound like my parents. Right.
We do.
I'm telling my kids, I'm like, we had it the best. Like my generation had it the best. Your generation has, you know, on demand TV. We didn't have that. If you had a commercial break, that's when you used the bathroom. That's when you got a snack.
You got up and ran to see how much you could do in that 2 minutes or whatever it was.
And then they're yelling from the other, it's back on.
Yeah.
Running back in. And now it's just like, can you pause it?
Yeah.
My kids all the time. Can you pause it? You pause it.
Okay, but you took the TV out of your living room. Do you guys have a TV at all in your house?
No TV at all. So, yeah, we kind of made a decision early on. We didn't want TVs in every room. And that was just something that I think we both grew up that way a little bit. But, well, more so me than her. I don't think she grew up mostly that way. Of course, their family room. I mean, it was like a family room. That's where they gathered and did all sorts of stuff. But for my family, it's like, if I didn't like what my parents were watching, I just go to my room and watch something. Or
same. That's how I grew up too.
And so when we first got together, you know, we had those conversations in our first initial dates of just like, hey, we don't want this. We don't want this. Oh yeah, cool. Yeah, me too. Like, yeah. And so TV was one of those ones where we're like, you know, we don't mind it, but we don't want it in every room of our house.
Mm.
Now I say that when we were in our last house, we had a TV on a cart.
Oh, because interesting.
We had wood paneling in that house.
Yeah.
And Melina was really into that wood paneling. Like that was like her jam.
Okay.
I don't know why. I tried to cover it up multiple times. She's like, I love it. It's so beautiful. I was like, okay.
Aw.
And so we had like a 43-inch TV that we put on a cart. Okay. And then we would cover it and pull noodles so the kids wouldn't hurt themselves. And we'd wheel that in and out of whatever room that they were in. So if they wanted to watch something for homeschool or like a movie or something. But then in our bedroom, we had a 58-inch TV.
That's huge.
Yeah, there's a story there, though.
Oh, my gosh.
Henry had gotten, what's that one, like, RSV. Yeah. So he got RSV, and I had taken him to the urgent care, and they're like, yeah, he's RSV. So we sectioned him off from everybody else up in his room. There's nothing in his room. There's nothing to do. And I had already been around him enough. I said, well, I guess I'm the one that's going to be locked down with him. I have something to entertain myself.
Yeah, so I went
to Walmart and I said, let me just go get a cheap TV. And we'll do that. So anyway, they had a sale on their 58-inch TVs for like $200. And I was like, I can get this or this little dinky one.
58 inches.
I came home with this massive TV. I put it in Henry's room and we would sit there and watch that. And then when he was done, Birdie got sick with RSV and she was a baby at the time.
Oh no.
And so Melina was in our bedroom with her, just nursing her and taking care of her.
Yeah.
And so I bought a TV mount and I mounted it in our bedroom and then she loved it so much. She wouldn't let me get rid of it.
Kyle likes to fall asleep with the TV on and it bugs me because I like a quiet, dark room.
Yeah.
Let my mind reset.
Yeah.
I get really angry. I wake up in the middle of the night to the TV still on. I'm like, turn it off.
Yeah, we've done a thing lately where we just try to stay up reading at night. And so I have my Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
So I use my Kindle a lot to read on, especially when it's just books that I don't really want to have like in my office or that I'm going to use regularly. And I'll find a book on the Libby app. Mm-hmm. Have you used the Libby app? Do you use it?
I don't.
Oh my gosh. Do you have the library card?
No.
You need to go to Currituck County and get a library card.
Oh, yeah. Yes, a library card. Yeah, I have a library card.
So they probably have a Libby app that you can use. And it's like a way to do digital rentals. So a lot of books that you might want to read on like an ebook.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. And then you can send it to your Kindle.
I have the Kindle app on my phone. But I also use Audible.
Oh.
Way more than anything.
You use Audible too?
I love audiobooks.
Do you have the subscription to it?
Yes.
Your subscription?
For like the last decade of my life.
Yes.
I am in the car so much.
Yeah.
You know, we live where we live, obviously, and most of my business is in the Outer Banks, and sometimes Virginia Beach. So I'm always driving at least an hour in any direction there and back. So that's 2 hours of listening to an audiobook.
Yes.
I mean, I go through so many books each summer. Summer is my busy season. So yeah. I'm in the car so much and audiobooks are my thing. If I'm editing, I'm listening to an audiobook. If I'm cleaning the kitchen, my AirPods in, I'm listening to an audiobook or a podcast. Like podcasts love are it. Very much my thing too.
Yeah.
I just love it. I feel like it's a really good way of like mentally, you know, it's a good thing mentally for me. You work your brain a little bit versus just listening to music.
Yeah.
You do those things.
It's like the new NPR.
What's NPR?
National Public Radio.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever watch the old SNL skit where they're like NPR hosts and they're like, anyway.
No, I haven't seen that one.
That'd be a fun. I think that would be a fun Halloween costume if you could pull it off. But
I'll have to Google that.
Yeah. Audiobooks have been like, I do the ones where I get 12 credits a year. Mm-hmm. Like just recently, I used one of my credits to get the entire C.S. Lewis space trilogy, which he wrote. It's just kind of this really interesting thing, but it's like 17 hours of audiobook.
So the one that I just downloaded, uh-huh. that I'm really, I listened to this podcast a week or two ago. The podcast Famous at Home. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah.
I love that podcast. But he had on the author of 10 Rules for Raising Kids in a High-Tech World.
Who did that one?
The author
yeah.
of the book. It's Jean... I think it's Twingy is how you say her last name.
Twingy.
T-W-E-N-G-E. Jean Twingy, PhD.
Oh,
she's nice. Behind her name. But I loved that podcast episode so much that I used my 1 monthly credit to buy her book. So that's next in my queue is to.
So to you do it every month instead of like the one hit.
I get one credit a month on Audible.
I love the one hit a year because it gives me 12 credits to use when I want to. The only thing I dislike is when I first started using Audible, when you wanted a book, but you were out of credits, you could just return it and then they would never ask questions.
Really?
Yeah. And then they would just give you your credit back. But now they've kind of.
They've caught on.
They've caught
it's
on
not
to that
a thing
a little
anymore.
Bit. Like, cause you could just buy like so much at a time. I'd go through like 24, 30 books in a year and off of 12 credits, just keep returning them. Like if they were bad.
Yeah. But, I never did that, man. I have so many books and then they're all over the place. Some are like self-help and some are. Yeah.
So I like a lot of, let's see, where's my cue? So one that I have is I've got my deacons reading through a book called New Morning Mercies right now.
Okay.
Which is a Paul Tripp devotional. And so a lot of times, like when I start that morning, I go to that day and I can listen to that devotional for that day, especially if I'm driving or if I'm doing. So that's fun. And then I also have one. Olivia is studying doctrine and theology this year with me.
Ooh, interesting.
So today when I get home, but I have one called Daily Doctrine. Uh-huh. Then I just have like, there's one that I love called The Power of Moments.
Ooh, I haven't heard of that one.
It's by Chip and Dan Heath.
The Power of Moments.
Oh, I love it. I love it. In fact, I'm reading one of Chip's other books right now called The Switch about how to manage challenge. Or not challenge, how to manage change. Mm. And so like, how do we manage change? Like what is those things that help us do change? And so
you're going to have to text me.
Yeah. The power of moments.
Yeah. That sounds interesting.
And you guys do the family, right? So you guys have the Amazon family stuff.
I think so.
So then like Kyle can have access to your books too.
Oh
yeah. Cause Melina has access to all my books. And so sometimes if there's like a homeschool book that she needs, yeah. I can use one of my credits and get her a homeschool book.
I don't think he's a real big Audible guy. I think he'd probably rather read a physical book. Like you gifted me a book maybe a year ago. It was Boundaries.
Oh, I love Boundaries. Yeah. I tried to give it away last night to people too. I was like, you need this book.
Well, I remember after you gifted it to me, you bought a big box.
I bought like 10 or 12 of them. Yeah,
because so many people need to read that book. But I tried every night to read it before going to bed and fall asleep reading it. So I finally just used my monthly credit and bought the Audible version of it so I could listen to it in the car on the way to my sessions and finally get that book in. Yeah.
I also have it on my
Audible. Do you? Do you do that where I have like physical copies of books, but I also 100%. Have the Audible version?
That's the only way I made it through my second master's is I would buy the digital copy and I would have Siri read it to me through the accessibility feature on the phone.
Yeah.
And then I would physically read a copy as well. And so, because there, I had one class, it was my missiology class, which is like the study of missions. Mm-hmm. That professor would pull out the most random facts to put on a quiz. And I was like, this is dumb. Like,
you're not going to like retain like, that.
I'm not
from
retaining that. Yeah. And so I would go through and just highlight just crazy stuff. And But anyways, it was always fun to like have, that's how I made it. Like I figured out with my ADHD, I needed to be at a standing position. So that's when I started doing standing desks before they were like a trend.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to build a desk where I can stand at. And so for years, that's what I've been doing. And then I would listen to the book and read it at the same time in a standing position. So for hours on end to get through my master's, I would go off in a room of the old church I was at when no one was there. And I would just read and highlight and write. And
do you feel like you have a hard time with comprehension? Is that why you do it?
100%.
Me too. I think that's why I was never great in school growing up. And it was never like I was the talkative one or anything like that. Yeah. I just genuinely could not comprehend information. I just didn't retain it. And so I think that's why I am that way now too, where I have the hard copy of a book and I listen to the audio version. That way I can go back. Cause sometimes I'll hear something like the Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. I listened to that, loved it. And then thought I really need the physical copy too. So I can go in and pick out certain parts that I remember from listening to, but when you're driving, you can't write anything down or make notes. So
Yeah. I think that's the part I love about audiobooks too, is that like there's those moments where I step back and I'm like, oh, like there's two books, usually Boundaries and then the book, The Five Dysfunctions of a Team. That's my other one. I'm real big Pat Lencioni fan, and he does all sorts of like leadership books. He's got one called The Advantage that is super great. I'm real big into organizational leadership, which is just weird. I know.
It's not weird.
But there's like,
church.
Well, like even tomorrow, like for our deacons meeting, I've got them going through the basic principles of one of his books called The Ideal Team Player, about how, like, when it comes to character, you're looking for people that are humble, hungry, and smart.
Ooh.
And so, those are even like character traits that I think are essential for us and our ministries here at the church of how do we do that? But then it just helps me understand too, that even organizations can have a standard of excellence, and that's okay. You know, I think you and I've even talked about this where, even as like the social media aspects of our church or the branding aspects of our church, people don't think about that as being essential, you know? But when you when you're in a culture now that is one of the things people are looking at, they're looking for, you have to be considerate of that. And so I think we've even talked about like, how do we build a branding book for our church where there's fonts and colors and people don't like, some people are like, just throw that on the wall.
No, you
like,
can't do that. That is something I learned in the early days of starting my own business. I remember my first website was very juvenile, like bright colors and gold glitter, turquoise. It was very juvenile. And I remember when the website that I have now, when I met with my my web designer, and she said, we're going to do a whole branding mood board for you. I'm like, well, what's that? I mean, we went through hundreds of fonts until I picked ones that I liked. And I said, well, what do I use for my branding colors? And she said, look at what you're wearing right now. Those colors, and those colors match with all of your photography work of people on the beach. Those are the same colors you see on the beach. Those are your branding colors.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. And now everything you see that I post on Instagram, on my website, anything that relates to my business is going to have those fonts or those colors because it's consistent. It's the same way as when someone sees, you know, the Chick-fil-A font, they're always going to think of Chick-fil-A or the Disney font.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the colors of Chick-fil-A, like anything like that. Every business has their own branding and it's essential to their brand, their company, and you have to stay consistent with it.
I think consistency on that is the key aspect of it, because when you're always changing stuff around, like it, you just never really know what's going on there. And so like when I got here, they had just gone through a whole overhaul. Like they'd never really had a logo. And so they had come up with that whole concept. And so I was like, okay, perfect. And that's what we're going to use. Mm-hmm. Like if that's what you guys have decided on, that's where we're going to go. And I wasn't even in any of that decision. In fact, I think I love talking to them because they'll say, yeah, we kind of did a lot of that stuff before we hired somebody. So and I was like, well, you guys did a great job. Like, let me just, you know, I'll say that for you. But that's one of the things too. Like I think about even our sign out front, like that's one of my things where I go, why does that not match the consistency of what we're trying to advertise with everywhere. But at the same time, it's one of those things where there's just certain things people are like, well, my great, great grandfather paid money for that sign. I'm like, and they did a great job. And I want to praise them for that. But you know, as we continue to grow and move forward as a church, like one of the things we have to do is maintain consistency.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's a difficult that's a difficult thing sometimes, because even consistency can create change, and change can create chaos in the lives of people. So you always, that's why I love things like the Power of Moments.
I was just about to say, that's where that book comes into play.
Yes. And the Power of Moments I love, because I use that for first time guest experience. Mm-hmm. That's a big piece for me. Like when somebody walks through the doors for the first time, I want them to feel like you're $1 million here. Like we care about you so much, mm-hmm. and we want you to know that you are loved. Even if this is the first and only time that you ever come here.
Yeah.
Like we want you to feel like you are the most valuable person.
Yeah. And leaving that lasting impression on them.
Because I know that not everybody is going to join. You can't. There's no way that everybody can join Providence. I get that. But I want people when they leave here to go, hey, that church wasn't for me, but by golly, do those people love Jesus? Do they love each other? I mean, it is.
Even when Allie and Pitt left, right? And she and I have had conversations here and there, especially when they were trying to find a church where they live now. And her consistently saying to me, nothing will ever be Providence. No one will ever have the type of people that Providence Baptist has.
And I up and down from the first moment we walked in this building with my family, never once did I feel like an outsider.
Yeah.
I never felt like I was an outsider. Mm-hmm. And that has been the key sticking point for us, is it's not just a church for us, but it is literally our
home.
Yeah. It's my home.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm probably here more than I'm actually at my actual house.
You probably are.
but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Melina enjoys the friendships and relationships, and our kids are thriving here. And
yeah,
I think those are important, and there's still a lot to do, but I think the future looks bright. So
it definitely does. So,
well, friend, we are at like the 52-minute mark, believe it or not. So
we knew this was going to be long. Neither one of us are short-winded.
No, we knew that coming in. But yeah. I know you also have a lot of things still to do today, and you've got your kiddos you got to get ready for soon, but. Man, thanks so much for just hanging out today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. And so I guess next time if I get in a pinch and I just need a fill-in, I'm going, Jamie.
The best fill-in.
Yeah. I don't know what we could even talk about. Again, I think we've literally learned more about each other's lives in 1 hour than, and we're like, okay, that's pretty much it. So
yeah. We're done.
We're done. Bye now. But hey, thanks for jumping in and hanging out.
Of course.
And I hope you had a fun time, but. If you guys want to ever be on an episode, all you got to do is let me know and we'll get you scheduled out. We've got some more in the pipe coming, so make sure that you subscribe and like, and we'll catch you guys next time.